Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I'm your host, Linda, coming from Oceanside, California. I want to thank everyone for coming in. I hope the sound is okay. Bill and Rod and Yo, welcome. Somebody get on the horn and get Ron Constitution Hour over here. I need somebody to talk to. You guys got to start calling in, man. But I want to thank you very much for all your thoughts and prayers, because I was a little bit nervous last week when I had to go to the doctor because I was a mess. And I'm still getting over it and taking my meds. But thank you for your prayers and your concerns because, we're getting a little older and it's not a good idea to push too hard. And thanks, Yo, for doing a sound check. Getting pneumonia is not a pleasant deal and it takes a lot out of me. So I'm feeling a little bit better, but right after this show, I'm going to go lie down, do nothing. I'm just resting, trying to learn how to not work myself to death. That's a tough one for me. But anyway, we are brought to us by PatriotFamilies.com. And I saw a lot of chatter in the Patriot Families chat room in here on the show page about our reunion. And it's really getting close and exciting. So that's wonderful. Everyone join PatriotFamilies.com. That's families with a YS, .com. A great group of people. And we're just hanging out and praying a lot. So with that, I was thinking, Bill's talking about what he's going to need. So everybody's going to have to make a store run, you guys. Yeah. So I guess Yo has had a case of that stuff before, the bad stuff in your lungs, pneumonia. It's not pleasant. I think I have Robert on the line. I'm going to bring him in. Hey, Mr. Robert.
How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay, and I want to also welcome you and welcome Mr. Magic. I see him in here, too, in the chat room. Thanks to everyone. It's kind of crazy what's been going on, you know.
You need some Jewish penicillin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because I made homemade chicken soup like 3 weeks before I got sick, and which had nothing to do with it because it came out very well. I did a good job. You know, I did everything from scratch. I got all the stuff from the markets and everything because I was, going through the list of the Monsanto GMO foods, and I noticed that Campbell's was on the list. So I thought, okay, if I want soup, I'm going to make my own. And, you know, thank God I know how. So what I wanted to do is start with some scripture because this, you know, I think we're at a place, and I know Bill's keeping up on this and everybody out there's keeping up on this stuff. Mr. Magic, he's a gem when it comes to scripture and doing all those things that we need to be doing. And I was listening to Glenn for the last 2 days, and he's adamant about this too. We can't just read scripture. We better get it so we know it like the back of our hand practically. And we need to also start getting into our Constitution and start memorizing it. And the more I know of that new book that Glenn just put out, which there's 15 authors, Glenn just contributed a very small percentage of it. There are 14 other people who wrote in this small book called Control. And I'm thinking that I need to get at least one copy and get on it. So this is from Isaiah because it's really quite poignant. And it talks about sinning and how God's pretty fed up with a lot of things. So I want to go through this. And Rod Luke had sent me some stuff, too, about the gun control and that people are persecuting Christians. I mean, I think it was one of our departments. You can write in. I just got off the inbox, so I can't toggle back and forth real easily. But I'm going to get out of the Patriot Families one. I think it was in the military they were being persecuted for their – or actually brought up on military charges for their Christian faith. So – and I'm going to get into that with my book from Bonhoeffer. It's going to just blow your mind. So we're going to do – yeah, thanks. Thanks, Rod. I know you guys are typing and stuff. Anyway, this is Isaiah, and this is oh gosh, where is it? It says Isaiah 2. I'm not sure. Yeah. Anyway, so this is chapter 1, and the verses go 1 through 16, because this is really important. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And then chapter 2 goes, if I can get the light on it. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Sound familiar? And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, ye make many prayers. I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Sounds like he's talking to us right now. Okay? And we better listen up, because we need to know why he's angry. Look what's going on. Absolutely. I'm going to read what Michael's saying. Linda, you are reading what is happening to in America today and what has happened to past kingdoms when they throw God out of their life and their country. This is absolutely true. And anyone who wants to call in and weigh in on these things, you're more than welcome. 646-378-0321. And Robert, I'm going to go to my page here. This book is amazing, you guys. I'm pretty close to being finished with it because I'm getting to the point where Hitler is arresting people. And this is in 1934, getting close to 1935. And they're having a huge struggle in Germany regarding the German Christians and the Reichskirch, which is the Church of the Third Reich. And it's just amazing what's going on. So some of this, it goes back to 1933. Yeah, here it is, 19, well, actually March 13, 1932, talking about the what's going on with the national election of that time. And it also goes to, I think this is probably 34, dealing with the churches and other things. And you'll get the picture to that when I get to it. I just want to get through this book. This is an amazing book, you guys. This is part of my continuing study of this period of history, because this is the second major book that I've read on the Third Reich. Basically, this is Bonhoeffer's biography, which is very important because he was part of the Valkyrie plot against Hitler, and that was what ultimately, of course, got him arrested and hanged 15 days prior to Hitler supposedly offing himself in a bunker. So let me go with this. This is a very poignant, you guys, pay attention, because this is so amazing how this was written. The Sunday of their confirmation was March 13th, 1932. That same day, a national election was being held to determine who would be president. Nazi rowdies rode around in the backs of trucks with megaphones, stirring things up. A month earlier, Hitler was found ineligible to run since he was born and reared in Austria. But this problem was strenuously shoved through a loophole, and he would run after all. So that Sunday was not a quiet one in Wedding, Germany, this town. But even with this Nazi hubbub, the service went off without a hitch. Bonhoeffer's sermon to the boys was gentler than his other sermons of that time. Pretty interesting stuff, hi guys? All the way back in 1932. Gee, he wasn't qualified, but that was shoved aside so he could run anyway. Gee, sounds pretty familiar to me. Okay, here's another piece I wanted to get to. This is talking about Bonhoeffer attending services, and he wrote his grandmother about the people with epilepsy. This is important because we're going to connect the dots in a minute. He says, their condition of being actually defenseless may perhaps reveal to these people certain actualities of our human existence, in which we are in fact basically defenseless more clearly than can ever be possible for us who are healthy. But even in 1933, the anti-gospel of Hitler was moving toward the legal murder of these people who, like the Jews, were categorized as unfit, as a drain on Germany. The terms increasingly used to describe these people with disabilities were useless eaters, Agenda 21, and life unworthy of life. When the war came in 1939, their extermination would begin in earnest. From Bethel, Bonhoeffer wrote his grandmother, it is sheer madness, as some believe today, that the sick can or ought to be legally eliminated. It is virtually the same as building a Tower of Babel, and is bound to avenge itself. Bonhoeffer often mentioned the Tower of Babel in his sermons as a picture of man's religious attempt to reach heaven on his own strength, and he had probably picked it up from Barth, one of his mentors. But here he linked it with Nietzsche worldview, in which strength was exalted and weakness was crushed and eliminated. One was about works and the other was about grace. So absolutely, guys, I mean, this, what's going on, we've got the people actually deliberating on the Gosnell trial. And I don't know how long they've been out. What is it, 2 days? How do you not get that this guy was a butcher? How much more evidence do you need to convict this guy? I mean, unbelievable. This is how far we've gone down the rabbit hole, people. And, you know, with all of this stuff going on, like I said, I was watching Glenn, and he had some really, really awesome things in his explanation of gun on the book Control, which is all about the myths of gun control, et cetera, and the Second Amendment. Like I said, I definitely need that book, because you need it so that you can, like, totally memorize it and know it within your heart, like a catechism, you know, type thing, and be able to talk to these coneheads who come up against you with this nonsense, whether it's Piers Morgan or your next-door neighbor. You have to be armed with this because look what's happening. I mean, we've got Kermit, whatever his name is, Gosnell or whatever, this crazy butcher, Mengele the second, up in Philadelphia. Now he's on trial for all of these heinous crimes. And I just want to read what Michael says. It is good that I know about Saturday and Sunday shows that aren't created yet, as sometimes I do extra show and don't want to use the time that is a useful purpose. Cool. Well, you know, you're pretty much open, Michael, to do shows. You know, let us know what's happening and we'll try to get to them. Okay, so here we go. Anyone that would like to weigh in, please call. That would be 646-378-0321. What do you think of my piece on Bonhoeffer, Robert?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, but it's the truth.
Well, you know, yeah, this is what I talked about when I was reading Hayek's Road to Serfdom, because it was written 80 years ago, and of course this is written whenever, but it was written about the 80 years ago time frame. And it could have been written 2 months ago. You know what I'm saying? It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
So how did Hitler? So he wasn't qualified to rough work for Germany. How did he get in? I mean, well, that part I don't know.
Well, okay. From what I understand, he was Austrian born. I knew that. Nobody ever touched on it until I'd read this. But my other book, it's very huge. It's about almost 700 pages, and I'll have to go back and look it up, because it starts in the Bolshevik Revolution, goes all the way to the end of 1945, the end of the war. So it's very detailed about Lenin, Stalin, and Hitler and how they did it. But okay, when he was elected chancellor at that time, which was my phone's ringing. It's messing me up. Let me go turn it off. Okay, whoever it is has to wait. So, anyway.
There you go.
And when that thing, it messes up my speakers, and then I get feedback. So, all I know is in 1933, and he was elected because they had just come off a huge Weimar Republic. They also had the Treaty of Versailles, which was, everybody wanted them, Germany, who was dead broke and printing money like crazy. What was I going to say? There was a huge depression. The country was a mess. They were demanding money from, I think, England and France and all over the world for them to pay for World War I. So he comes riding in on this white horse and, you know, saying he's going to save everybody. So these people were just exactly like what happened with, you know, President Zero, or President Pantload, whatever you want to call this thing that's usurped us. And so the people had also had been demoralized, in other words, amoral situations. They were just like Sodom and Gomorrah in the Weimar Republic. Remember the movie Cabaret, when they would, everything was, you know, wide open, booze, sex, drugs, you know, sin, all kinds of craziness. And then coupled with the problem of the printing of the money, to where it was, people had to literally take the cash and burn it in a wood stove or whatever to keep warm, because that's about all it was worth. It just amazing. So he comes riding in on his white horse, and he actually was decorated a war person as a German in World War I, Hitler was. I didn't know if you knew that. But I think he had some Silver Cross Award or something similar to ours. All these cats, you know, were on battlefields in World War I. All these people who then rose to positions of power later. It's amazing when you start reading it. So everybody was, you know, doing debauchery and Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was no work. There was no, you know, money was inflated. Everybody was poor. Everybody was terrified. So he's coming in, and he's going to fix it all, right? So he gets elected. At that point, I think by 90 to 95% of the population in Germany. He was, of course, keeping quiet all his ideas. You know, he claimed to be a Christian, which, of course, he wasn't. So this is how you do it. And you lie your way in, just like the rest of them do. I mean, and this one, of course, much worse than and the others. Because he was, you know, you could tell, anybody who's read history could tell that Obama was not good for this country. So, okay, I lost Robert. I guess he had some phone troubles. But anybody who would like to call in, please call in 646-378-0321. And I wanted to go back here and read some items. As Rod says, it was Germany in trouble for Hitler to say he could save them. Now the world economies are in the tanks of the Antichrist to save the world. Well, we've got one in the White House. As bad as things may get, Rod, we will never see the Antichrist as the rapture happens before the seven-year tribulation where the Antichrist reigns. Okay, well, that's good. I'm going to pick you back up. I lost you for a second.
That's me.
Huh? Yeah, I know. I lost you for a second.
But you know, it's true. Everything is coming back to fruition. I mean,
right.
Well, history is repeating itself with them.
That's because we have dumb people, and they don't wake up. And this has been going on since the beginning of time. And I know Ron's talked about it. I've talked about it. Everybody else who's thought about it has talked about it. And they're talking about it in the chat room with my great friend, Mr. Magic, because he talks about Revelation, and he's probably quite correct in that. I have not read Revelation for a while, but I've been trying to get to other things and get this book finished. This is so important because all the books I'm reading are exactly like you said, the history repeating itself. But you, look, you've always had people trying to rule over people, whether it was a Pharaoh or a Nimrod or a Caesar or a Genghis Khan or whatever. And because that's the natural state of us, it's slavery and barbarism and somebody trying to have total control over you. So, but it's not really in man's nature and nature's God to be oppressed and be a slave and be controlled like this. So we're going to rebel, especially since we come from a long line of guys in powdered wigs and tri-cornered hats who did a darn good rebellion and they won. So they're going to come after us, and I know it's going to get ugly, but there's going to be more blood in the streets, and it ain't just going to be from pressure cookers, I'll tell you that. They're going to push us, and they're going to try to take our guns, and it ain't going to happen. And some of us are going to die, and a lot of us are going to live, and there's going to be some, you know, some kicking butt because we're done. We're sick of it. People have to stand up every single day. Stand up. I don't care if it. You need to tell this government, get out of my school, my church, my refrigerator, my supermarket, everything. Every aspect of my life, you need to walk away. I'll tell you, you can take your damn Social Security and your Medicare and shove it. I'll take care of myself. You know, if we had a decent situation where we could, you know, have our constitution back and free market capital situation, I'd probably be quite well off. I'd be fine. I would have no problem without the EPA and the rest of these clowns. I'd be fine. But oh no, can't have that. So, you know, this, you just tell them no. I would trade that tiny piece of security for my liberty and the ability to go out on my own tomorrow. I'd do it yesterday, not just tomorrow. Yesterday, I'd have done it. You know, it's ridiculous.
Would you like to hear a joke, a version of my joke about the sequestration? Everything is going on. I had to rewrite it, and I promise you, it's not racial. Two astronauts and the president are going up at the space with a chimpanzee. Do you know what the chimpanzee's job was?
No.
Pick up a sign that read, "Don't forget to feed the president."
Well,
that's basically what the whole gig is all about.
Well, look, okay, here's my take on this guy. This is what I think I've learned in the past 4 years. All right. He he was born into communism. He was groomed into communism. He's been to Muslim countries. He's probably got some history of being a counter spy. I don't know. Can't prove it. Bet you anything that he likes, you know, the same sex. I totally believe that. Okay. I've got Mr. Magic, too. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Welcome, Linda, and everyone in the chat room.
Hey, Mr. Michael.
Yes.
Go ahead and add to our show.
Add to your show.
What are your thoughts?
You know, I wanted to call in because I haven't called into a show for some time. I haven't even been doing shows because of a long list of things on my agenda. But I thought I would call in because you're here by yourself, and sometimes you need a little someone to help.
Absolutely.
Fill up this. So,
thank you. Did you hear my Isaiah reading?
Yes, I did. And there's a lot of that in
today.
In the
right
book
now.
Exactly, which I am studying and which I will be covering on my show over the next month,
okay.
The entire book of Daniel, with all the way from King Nebuchadnezzar,
mm-hmm.
was one of the most feared kings that there ever was of the kingdom of Babylon, but he lost that kingdom to the Medes and the Persians. So it's like,
yeah,
it continues. And the only reason why America even won World War II is because we had, at that time, godly people in America. But I'll tell you what, you know, God looks at individual people to see where their hearts are, obviously.
Right.
But he looks at, you know, a country and countries,
mm-hmm.
and the world to see, you know, what their hearts and their minds are
true.
Like.
So maybe the people like you and me and all of the people that are here and those who love the Lord, we should be on our knees asking him to forgive us and asking him to please don't judge each individual by the masses and try, you know, that we're not, you know, we're trying to our best to you know, be our brother's keeper in a sense, but we're not all powerful, you know, because, I mean, there's a lot of us who do get it, Michael. There's a lot of folks who, even on the left now, are going, what's going on? I mean, this is, like I said, with especially, you know, and the bad news is when I'm reading about Germany at that time in 1930, when it gets to 36, 7, and 8, and then it gets really, really bad, the people were already under a police state by then, so they had no choice, and they were terrified because they literally watched people be dragged from their homes and shot. So we don't want to get to that place, but it's close. This is what's scaring me. I, you know, it's really frightening because as I was explaining to Robert, just my views on what I know, what I've read, not just from one source, but several others, and how they had the shadow party, shadow government, and how this guy, Barry, was groomed from birth, and then he was, you know, hanging out with all the weirdoids, and not just the Clintons and the Bilderbergs and whoever else was in charge, but you go up higher on the food chain to the royal family in England and a few others. This is where it's coming from. And I do believe the Rothschilds influence because they are the ones who are pushing for this. He was planted in there. They figured out how to do it. They got everything sealed, you know, all his records, the whole nine yards. The media has been bought and paid for. They didn't have to worry about the media. They already had them. They knew that. So they just marched forward just exactly like Hitler did in Germany. And so did both Lenin and Stalin. But when they started, they didn't have their press. They had to do it. They had to go from scratch and take the whole thing and turn it to a state-run media because they knew they couldn't go forward. That was the very first thing all three of them did. So this is what we have. We're a mess. And if there was supposed to be an impeachment, there would be several hierarchy in the Eurozone who would be not happy with our Congress. You know what? Too bad. They can pound sand. I'm turning into an isolationist right now. I'm sick of it. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. And, you know, unfortunately for many who, you know, have had the opportunity to hear the word of God but have not acted on it.
Right.
You know, they're going to be in deep, deep trouble. I mean, and it's, you know, America, you know, although the Bible does not, anywhere in the Bible, does not specifically mention the United States of America or America, okay, it is, you know, today basically a kingdom. And the fact that we have the world reserve currency, we're supposed
to be
a strong nation, but we are being torn apart. And I think we're, you know, about 70%, maybe a bit more even, on the way there, Linda.
Yeah, I know. It's horrid. I don't know. I just know that... going through this mess. Yeah, we've got a lot of prayers to do. We've got a lot of studying to do. We've got a lot of opening of others' eyes. We need to prepare. We've got to keep our wits about ourselves. We've got to know our what our rights are. If you don't know what they are, how are you going to hang on to them? Does that make sense?
Well,
you have to know them, and you have to know who gives them out to you. and the reason, you know, you need to almost, like when we study scripture and we try to get it into our souls and meditate on it, we need to meditate on our history too, all of it, and seriously get it so that we can say, hey, no, wait a minute, I have the Fourth Amendment, I've got this, that, and the other, you know, and this is what it says, and shall not be infringed, and all the rest. You know, I'm calling an attorney. Get out of here. You know, get your hands off my kid.
You know, exactly. And, you know, I don't have a problem, you know, with, you know, the teaching of, you know, our country's foundation,
right,
the Constitution, you know, Agenda 21, any of that. What I do have a problem with, okay, and maybe I'm out of place here, but it is very true, okay, is that no matter what we do, no matter what we talk about on radio shows, we need to put God first, because this is what he expects. And
I
you can put that in your Bible. I mean, God comes first. Your husband and wife come second.
Right.
Your children come first.
This is exactly, this is what, this is what Glenn did a couple days ago, and it was really cool, because we know that these idiots, we've allowed it to happen. They have flipped the pyramid on the head, and when the founders put it together and they figured it out, they knew where God was. He was at the top of the pyramid, and then you, and then your family, and then the government's way down at the damn bottom, and we give them what we give them, you know, what we decide to give them. You know, that's the pecking order, and that's the way it has to return to, absolutely. And that's why I wanted to start my show again today with scripture, because I need to get back to it more. I need to meditate. Although I pray every evening, I pray for others. Maybe I need to change up my prayers. You know, maybe that's something that a prompting has come to me to do. You know, everybody needs to follow their own path in that sense. But, you know, as you know, those who are saved, we have a covenant. We know about grace. We have to keep it intellectually, not just spiritually. You know what I mean? We've got to keep that. You're right. Foremost. Because everything that the founders, I mean, even Ben Franklin, he got it. He says, I'm not a, you know, I don't want a theocracy, but America's religion is there is a God. We're going to answer to him someday and better listen to him and better start obeying him. So, I mean, he got it. That's pretty simple. And they structured that Constitution with that in mind hugely. They didn't just put it together willy-nilly. No, no. That's why we need that second amendment. This is the only country left that's got that right, and they haven't come to take them yet. And let me tell you, they try to do it. I hope everyone has the guts. I do. to stand up and say, there is no way. No. Not going the way of Wounded Knee. Pound it. Not doing it. I don't care. Because if they do that, what's to stop them from putting you on a boxcar to some damn FEMA camp? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I ain't going alive. They can take me when I'm dead to a FEMA camp, but I ain't going alive, so they can just kiss me goodbye. No, you have to – that's that. Right now, this is on the chopping block. People need to stand up against this freak in the White House. I'm telling you, because he's evil, and everybody around him that goes along with him is – they're just – to me, they're like Goebbels and Himmler and Eichmann. That's what they remind me of, especially that derelict Holder. I can't stand that thing. Ugh.
God. Exactly, Linda, you know, and I have to go back to saying that, you know, man, throughout history since the creation mm-hmm. of man cannot solve man's problems. It has never, ever, ever happened, and it's not going to happen in this day and age either, unless we put God first, unless we put his word first.
Right, and we... We also, the reason that I talk about the Second Amendment is because you have an inherent right as a creature on this planet to defend your life. The same amount of rights that the mama bear has to protect her cubs. And I don't know too many people, unless they have a tank, who are going to go up against a mama grizzly. So if you get my drift, we have the same rights as that bear. And I don't care who's in charge. They better get that through their thick skulls, because I'm not giving up that God-given. That is a natural right from the Lord. He created this planet, and we get to defend our lives. There is a huge – look, the most prevalent instinct you have, the most strong one, is your survival instinct, the will to live, to propagate the species, right? And the second, of course, is your sex drive. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be talking. We'd have been extinct like the dodo birds. So those are very, very strong. Those are huge. This is why the mother bear does what she does. That's why we're allowed to do what we do, to protect our children or our own selves, to preserve the species, for heaven's sake. What's the point otherwise? You know? Why sit down and partake of food if you're just going to, unless you want to starve to death and not be viable. There's a lot of things going on, and I agree with you that we've got to go back to the Lord. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but, you know, we've got to start taking care of business and educating people, and, you know, if that means bringing them to God and showing them his ways and showing what's going on in this world, that this is wrong, and the reason that we're, in fact, one of my friends, you'll love this, one of my friends, we were at a meeting before I got sick, and we were talking about the children in school, and they were doing their little safety thing, and they wanted to have everybody, you know, tagged with these biometric whatever they got, you know, beepers, data gathering nonsense. And so she was arguing with them, and she's the one that wrote this pamphlet, which is actually on Amazon now, The Infiltration of the Churches Through Communism of the 1800s. And she asked these two gentlemen who were trying to push this down the throats of the parents, she says, what do you think changed in our society, why the kids aren't safe and why there's all this violence in our society and especially in the schools? And they couldn't answer her, and she kept asking, and they didn't know the answer. And she says, you know, it's really sad, but if you can't even answer that simple question, she says, I don't even know if I can help you. And they said, please tell us. And she said, they took God out of the schools in 1963. This is part of the problem. And she says, and so then this guy was real flippant, and he goes, well, take it up with the school board. Yeah, and that was his attitude. And I thought, you know, but, you know, we're going on the 22nd of this month. We're going to go down there, and we're going to fight against Common Core. Believe me, Michael, we're going to hit it hard. We're going to tell them that these kids belong to the parents, not to the state.
Well, you know, it takes people, and I know several pastors in my small town here from Bible-teaching churches mm-hmm. that take the time, one of them has four children, to homeschool,
yes.
you know, children. But in answer to your question, of which you partially answered, about taking God out of the schools, what has really happened since the 1950s, maybe 60s,
mm-hmm.
is the brainwashing
yes.
through the media of
yep.
our adults, which
oh, sure.
are responsible for teaching and raising our children, you know, with the mind of God.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's a very insidious thing, and I do believe it, you know, when they when they started the Cold War and we thought communism was defeated, that was ridiculously stupid and foolish to think that, because they just went around the back door, you know what I'm saying? They knew that they couldn't just walk up and, because we're armed, and just take us over with an army. They knew that, especially back then. So they infiltrated the schools, they infiltrated the colleges, they infiltrated every institution, including probably the military, and of course the churches. The churches got infiltrated in the mid-1800s. I have a book on it, and I was reading it on the air a few months back, and I'm going to bring it to the reunion in Indiana so you guys can take a look at it, whoever gets to go. But it's insidious what they've done. They have also, with the Women's Lib movement, is part of this nonsense. You know, keeping the women out of the home, making sure that the more and more the kids get indoctrinated by the state by being in these stupid public schools. They have erased history. They have bastardized history. They have omitted history. They've lied about it. They've erased it. They've done everything they can. There's no civics classes. They've got, now they're teaching them global warming. They're teaching them all this nonsense. They're teaching them about gay and lesbian stuff, and they're making them terrified of guns. They're brainwashing them even further. I mean, there's people in even in my generation and the ones underneath us, they wouldn't know anything about what we got taught, and I, or one-tenth of what I've read since I've gotten out of school to educate myself on history, not one iota. They don't even know geography. They're illiterate in most instances. They wouldn't know Stalin from, you know, Genghis Khan to Caesar's, you know, Brutus. Not one iota, not one. They wouldn't know the location on a map of certain places. Hell, they wouldn't even know who Biden is. I mean, it's insanity. This is what we're up against, and I fight it all the time. I will continue to educate. I will continue to go when I get better. I will continue to go to meetings and speak, and I will talk in front of city council, and I will continue to hit it, and I'll do the blogging, because I'm not giving up. I'm not going to stop.
I don't blame you, Linda. I don't know how you take it out there, man. I really don't. I don't know how you live there.
Oh, I talk about that. I do that all the time. Every time I get a chance, I tell them, look, California is the poster child for what not to do, you know, and I explain why. With all the zoning regulations, the high cost of housing, you've got all this garbage with regionalism. This started in 1974. You think Agenda 21 started in 1992? You're crazy. It started a long time.
It started during when I was born. I could just remember back in the 60s growing up, Linda. I mean, I was basically, you know what you're talking about. This is my beef now. You're talking about, Mike, and I don't mean to be belittled about this, but my interpretation of the whole thing is, Linda, I've been lied to all my life. Not only have I been lied, by my country.
Right.
I've been lied to by my own religion.
Well,
You know what I'm saying? Even my own religion. You know, usually when you have a breakup, when you go through a divorce, and you're Jewish, and the wife is non-Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
The religion should stick with the Jewish person, don't you think?
Well,
yeah.
I'm not well versed in Judaism as far as the Torah
Even still, I mean, you know, they basically abandoned me when I broke up.
Well, that's a shame. Oh, Rod was asking.
They abandoned me. You know where I go to church now? I go to the Catholic church with my friend Leonie and Kathy.
Well, that's fine. I go to the Catholic church. Okay.
They're asking questions.
They're making me ask you questions in the chat room. And Rod wanted to know how did you know you were lied to? How did you come to the conclusion that you had been lied to on certain things?
I someone that was my call waiting. The reason why I know I was lied to is just how you could just feel. I just now, just by being raised, my father raised me conservative, as a conservative Jew. But he was a Democrat, and I just believe.
Yeah.
I just believed that he split the family. He split the family. They're probably liberal Democrats, and I didn't even know
it. Here's the thing.
My family and I are not on the same page.
Well, Well, I think when you talked about being lied to in certain senses, it sounded to me like you were talking about the history of your country, you know, the monetary system,
everything.
Yeah.
In that sense, you're absolutely correct.
You are correct. What Michael's talking about in the chat room is the biblical sense or the scripture, and that once you have that, you've got the truth in your hands. That's very, very true.
I got the truth in my hands, but I had the best of both worlds growing up. I mean, not only did I have my religion of Judaism, I graduated from Catholic school.
Right.
And so after realizing what's the real truth of God. The real truth of God is believing in yourself and believing in God. And if you don't have that anymore, you don't have nothing.
Well,
that's the bottom line.
Right, yeah. I mean, my faith takes me, when I think of Christ and my faith in him, I walk by faith, not by sight. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense, but when I read scripture, I read it almost verbatim, like it was a history book, and man, it just jumps right out at you. It's like truth. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
It is amazing. You know, it's just like it's for an example how the social ideology of not people don't want you to succeed. They bring you down. They want to beat you up. You know. There's this one girl, she goes to me in the doctor's office today. She goes, "Why do you torture yourself going through all this stuff for, you know, at USF? Why do you do this?" she asked me. And I said, "I do it to piss people off because I know people don't like me going to graduate school."
Oh, wow.
That's exactly what I told her. I mean, I went through hell this semester, Linda.
Yeah.
I really went through it. I developed two styes because of this course.
Oh, jeez.
But be it as it may, at least I know my own mortality rate. I figured that one out.
Yeah.
So as long as I can live and breathe and educate people.
Yes. Well, that's a good thing. Look.
I have 20 years left in me. I'm 58. I'll be 58 in October. I have a good 28 more years to contribute.
Well,
to this
good, thing. Good, that good is. For you. I think that's wonderful. I know that you know, whatever your faith is, however you go to church and you pray and you learn and you edify yourself, that's wonderful. I mean, everybody needs to do that, and it is an individual thing. There is no collectivism in my book. There is no collectivism in the state. There's no collectivism in my house, you know, and no collectivism
people,
in God and salvation. This is an individual deal, one-on-one.
But I see the socialist liberal agenda. They want to just bring people down to the point where they don't want them to do nothing. They want them to depend on the government.
Exactly.
They want them to buy food stamps. They want them to go on welfare. They don't want them to have a job.
Well, then
they don't
then they,
want,
look,
you know,
so don't you know why? Then they can control them.
That's
they
it.
Have absolute control over them. Complete control.
They don't want anybody to succeed. I mean,
well,
if
no,
you,
no, no.
If
that's true, but they don't want anyone to have freedom, Robert.
No.
They don't
no.
want freedom. None. Zero.
Well, you know, what really drives me about our president, I can't even say his name anymore.
I know.
But what drives me about our president is this. If he draws a fine line of Syria killing its own people, what do you think he's doing to us financially?
He doesn't
you know,
care.
He's doing this,
it's,
but
he's
doing
it,
the same thing.
He's doing it on purpose. It's part
yeah,
of his plan. He was placed there to do it. He was put there by the elites from other countries to do this to us. Don't you get it yet? You got to look through
them. Yeah, I got it.
Take off the rose-colored glasses. The guy is evil. He was put there on purpose to destroy our freedoms and this country from the inside out.
Tell Rod this. Rod, that's exactly why. This isn't exactly why I know I've been lied to. And that's why I go off the rat path and try to tell people how I feel about the situation. It might be unconventional, but at least I get it.
You know,
if I pay my bills on time and I have money to spare to do what I have to do to get through, you know, to get through school, I don't ask for a government handout. I pay for my own education.
Right.
Who gives a damn what I do? Who cares
exactly.
what I do?
Well,
you know, here's the thing.
You should not put so much stock in what, you know, somebody told me this a long time ago. What other people think of me is none of my business. I really don't care. You know, this is not a popularity contest right now, okay? I'm beyond the showgirl time. I'm not wearing heels and a headdress anymore, all right? So, you know, that's it, baby. I'm not going to an audition and showing my tush with a G-string. No, not at this stage of the game. So,
you know how I got into public health? I applied to the behavioral school psychology.
Mm-hmm.
That was my major goal. Okay. When I had an interview with these two PhDs, they put me in the corner and I felt like a dunce with a dunce cap. But the guy basically eyeballed me. He says Our program doesn't fulfill your needs of becoming a PhD. You need to go over to the School of Public Health and see if you can get in as soon as possible. I said, now why are you deterring me from your program? It's because you want to do research and you want to contribute and you want to teach. And that's what you want to do.
Wow.
But he says, but this is the last thing he said to me, Linda. He says, you're the only few that knows how to present themselves in graduate school, and that's why you go to the School of Public Health. And when he's, you know, and since that day, I knew then that's what I was going to do.
Wow.
And I'm do it.
I got a few minutes left. I want to ask Mr. Magic if he's got a last thought before we kind of wind up a little bit?
Well, I do, of course, naturally, Linda. First of all, I want to let you know, okay, I think you log in for the Tuesday show, and I apologize for missing that last night. I had to go out.
Okay.
But I am going to be creating a promotional audio that will cover all of our shows. It's going to be between 30 and 40 seconds long, and it'll be. I'm going to put numbers at the beginning, so it's right at the very, very top in the studio. Okay.
Oh, neat.
So all you will have to do is click on it, and it's going to be short, sweet. It'll cover Monday through Friday, and that way, you know, we can get to play it on every show.
Okay.
Nice and easy, you know.
And that way we don't have to run, do the rundown. Okay, fabulous.
Exactly, and I just want to say, you know, please, everyone, put God, put Jesus Christ first in your life, and that is the most important thing that you can do right now. This country needs to be, you know, not changed around in the fact that, you know, people need to know about the Constitution or Agenda 21. They need to know about Christ and what he did for the world and what he did for this country and the people in this country. And that's what I think is most important.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny because I'm reading about Dietrich, who made his life as a theologian and studied nothing but the Bible his whole life as a Christian in the darkest days of Germany. And I guess he was still quite young when Hitler took power, but he talks about God and grace and the life of Jesus Christ and the teachings of Christ all through this book. It's amazing. That's why I love it so much, and that's why he and the Ten Boom people during that dark period were so amazing, and their faith was so absolutely stellar because they didn't let anyone get in the way. You know, they would live and die and fight against evil no matter, it didn't matter. They would lay down their lives to help the Jews at their own peril. And I have to say, man, that's like the ultimate for me. So we can learn a lot just from that too, you know, seeing how other faithful act and react in God's trying times. So absolutely. And Robert, I want to thank you and Michael for calling in, and Rod for being there, and Bill for being there. I know Yo dropped off, and I'm going to play a little music, and we've got Terry Rowland tomorrow. Come join us for that. That's 6 o'clock Eastern for 1 hour and a half with our favorite teacher. Please join for that. And thank you so much, Bill, for joining us. Play a little music. We're going to get ready to, I'm going to go get something to eat and rest and get ready for Indiana. So I got to be healthy for that. And God bless everyone. God bless Michael and Robert and everyone out there, Rod and Bill and everyone on Patriot Families. And hopefully those who didn't join me today had a darn good reason. I'm just kidding, you guys. All right, God bless, and I'm going to play a little Patriots Won't Take It. See you guys tomorrow on Terry's show.
Drink, Miss Linda, drink.
No, I can't. I got antibiotics. Not yet.
No, I mean, drink.
Quantity and no quality will be disappointing.